We have been blessed this morning. Great music. And I am thrilled you were here this morning. Again, to all of our veterans, we want to say a great big thank you this morning. Find your Bible this morning. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm going to read one verse. We'll look at a couple other verses in the message. I was praying this week. It was a real busy week. I actually flew out. Brother Eric picked me up on Monday morning. I had a 5:44 flight, hallelujah, out of RDU. I think Brother Eric got me at 4, and flew to Lancaster, Ohio. I preached Monday night. I preached Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night for our good friend Pastor Phil Manning, who preached for us a couple of months ago here in what they I think it was a 34th or 35th year. They have been hosting a meeting called the Mid-Ohio Bible Conference, and I think this was my 14th year to preach in that meeting. And then had to be at the Columbus Airport at 6. My flight was 6 in the morning. I got there about quarter till 5 Thursday morning, and Mrs. Jenkins met me. She was flying as well, and we went to Chicago and spoke in a conference on Thursday evening and twice on Friday, and then flew home, and we landed at RDU at just after midnight. And Brother John Payne was so gracious. Miss Linda took Debbie to the airport, and Brother John picked us up, and we got home about 1 in the morning. Hallelujah. So I had yesterday to recuperate, and got a lot of work done, but was so lazy, I slept until 8 o'clock. Can you believe that? Slept until 8 in the morning. I felt wicked. Had to get right with God. Amen. But it's all week long, even though I've had a very busy week, I've been thinking about this morning. And I just didn't know another way. This is an unusual service and an unusual sermon this morning. I want you to look with me at verse 17. Stand with me. Verse 16, 17 and 18. Verse 18 will actually be our text. But I'm going to read these three verses, and I want you to be ready to join me on a phrase together in unison in verse 18. Now, before we even start to read, the best we can calculate, the Bible, the historians tell us that this letter to the church at Thessalonica, for Thessalonians, was probably written in the year 51 AD. And the Apostle Paul established this congregation, this church in Thessalonica, on his second missionary journey. If you know anything about the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you know that this particular group of believers went through a lot of difficulty. They faced some very difficult days, some very challenging circumstances. But notice what Paul says to them under the Spirit's inspiration in that little two-word verse in verse 16. He said, "Rejoice evermore." You say, "Preacher, how do you rejoice in bad times?" I guess there's several answers, but one is, thank God they're not going to last forever. Secondly, Paul would say in another letter to another church that our light affliction is for a far greater eternal weight of glory. In other words, what we go through here pales in comparison to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says in verse 17, this might be the key, by the way, I believe it is. Pray without ceasing. We are no stronger in our entire spiritual world than our prayer life. Your prayer life and my prayer life is a snapshot of how strong or weak we are in our Christian life. Verse 18 will be our text this morning. I want you to read with me this entire verse, but really zero in on that opening statement. Together, verse 18, are you ready? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What a statement. He didn't write this to a church sitting on the beach in Cancun or Maui. He said this to a church that was going through some dark days, to a church that was struggling, that was suffering. Let's read it one more time together. Are you ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're going to pray, and I want to take a few minutes and preach on this thought this morning. thank you. I particularly address it to our veterans this morning. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. Lord, I don't even know how to say adequately. I don't feel like words are enough. And Lord, we tried this morning to honor our veterans, Lord, in a little extra way. But Lord, it'll only be through eternity that we'll ever be able to fully grasp what they gave us. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for every single veteran, every mom, every dad, every husband, every wife who waved goodbye to someone they loved as they got on that bus or got in that airplane and went off to serve their country. Lord, I want to say thank you this morning for the United States of America. Yes, she's got some problems. She's always had problems because it's a nation of people. But Lord, I want to thank you for the freedom we have enjoyed for nearly 250 years now. Lord, I realize it is not the politicians. It is the soldiers. It's the airmen. It's the seamen. It's the Marines that paid for our freedom. Bless them in a special way this morning. May they, in the depths of their being, believe it when we say to them this morning, thank you. Lord, we love you. Help us in this brief moment we've set aside for preaching. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, is Veterans Day here in the United States of America. As I said in the honoring ceremony we had a few moments ago, the purpose of Veterans Day is to honor and to say thank you to all who have served in the United States Armed Forces, both living and deceased, for their patriotism, their service, and their sacrifice. Veterans Day is a day we honor all who have served. Now, unlike Memorial Day, on that day we remember those who have died in the service of their country. Veterans Day is not so much a remembrance as it is a celebration. For all the veterans of all wars, including those who are still living, Veterans Day is a day that we as a grateful nation say to our men and women who've served our nation, a great big thank you. Let's say it out loud together this morning to all of our veterans. Join me if you will. Thank you. I think it'd do good for them to hear that one more time. Let's say it again. Thank you. Have you ever spent time around an ungrateful person? How many of y'all ever hung out with some friends and they had, as a son or daughter, an ungrateful brat? You looked at them and all the toys in their garage and all the toys in their living room and bedroom, and you thought, kid, if I had half of what you got, I'd have thought I'd died and went to heaven. But here your parents have tried every way they can to prove to you they love you, and it's never enough. How many of y'all want that kid to come over to your house and hang out? Yeah, well, that's because you're going to whoop on them. Amen, Brother Mike. Yeah, I ain't talking about getting rid. I just mean, how many of y'all enjoy their company? I'm just going to be honest with you. Brother Terry, I don't know if there's any personality much more repulsive to me personally than an ungrateful person. When you see what others have done for you, and instead of being thankful, you're entitled in your mind, you say, is that all? I'm not trying to be ugly, but I remember when we thought we won the lottery when we got a couple of jacks and a ball. Some of you don't know how to play jacks. Throw the ball up in the air, throw the jacks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you had a set of dice with your jacks, but, well, that was a really expensive gift, wasn't it? And how many of you at playground at school, that was the main thing you did was play jacks? Now kids are mad that their PlayStation's, you know, 1 year old. And the PlayStations are probably in the Smithsonian already, aren't they? Amen. What's the latest? PSI? Five. Wow. Brother Ken and I, when we were little boys, it was Atari. And it was ping pong. Little white line on each side of the screen and a ball, ping, ping, ping. But we thought, man, we got to be... I'm picking on you, amen. I was in an antique store this week in Ohio, Brother Ken, and there was a whole rack of 8-tracks. I thought, man, I didn't even know they had these, man. I saw one of my favorite groups. I shouldn't confess my sin, but Creedence Clearwater Revival, amen. The good bunch of Christian boys, amen. It wasn't the kind of revival we want here at church, amen. To be honest with you, when you spend any time around ungrateful people, they drain you. You don't realize it, but they're sucking the life out of you. See, having a thankful attitude is not only attractive, but it's powerful. You hang around people who are thankful, and I'm just telling you, it invigorates, Brother Jeff, the room. It infuses the place with a new dimension. Listen, thankfulness welcomes, and this is really where I'm at this morning. I believe from the heart of my heart, Brother Kelly, that thankfulness welcomes the presence of God into your situation. I don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. Get thankful. You'll be surprised. God will show up. I believe this. I believe thankfulness produces inner peace. So I don't have any peace in my life, preacher. You're not thankful enough. I believe thankfulness, Brother Mike, brings hope to hopeless situations. Can I spend just a few minutes defining what the words thank you really mean this morning? In our text, the Bible says these words, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything. Notice it doesn't say for everything. God's not asking you to be thankful for bad things that happen. He says thankful, look at it, in everything. Give thanks for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can I say number one this morning, thank you. Is a holy mandate. It's a mandate. Y'all know what a mandate is? That means you better do it, bless God. Thankfulness is a holy mandate. Here's what I'm trying to say, church. Being thankful is being in God's will. You always got to remember that most of Paul's letters, his epistles, he wrote more of the New Testament than any other human being, and well over half of his epistles were written from a prison cell. And here in our text this morning, the Spirit of God inspires Paul to say, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything. In other words, no matter what the circumstances you and I find ourselves in, we need to be thankful. The words thank you, they're a holy mandate. Matter of fact, flip with me if you will, just a page or two back. Don't lose your place here. We're going to come back here in just a moment. But to Ephesians 5, would you go back a couple pages to Ephesians 5? Look what verse 3 and 4 says in this great chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, notice if you will, this mandate is broadened here in chapter 5, verse number 3. Notice it says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. In other words, stop the fornicating, stop the uncleanliness, stop the covetousness. Notice what he says, as become a saints. Here it is, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. Say it with me out loud, church, but rather giving of thanks. You almost get the impression here, Brother Jerry, that giving thanks is the alternative to all this wickedness. Maybe the reason we're not as holy as we should be is we're not as thankful as we should be. If your Bible is still open there, the next book is Philippians, and the next book after that's Colossians. Turn there real quick to chapter 3. The mandate is even broadened even further in Colossians 3, verse 17. Boy, this is a powerful, powerful verse. It's right down on the bottom shelf. The apostle says in Colossians 3, 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed. That sounds like just about everything. In other words, when you're doing the dishes, when you're at your computer station at work, when you're changing diapers, Dad, hear that, Dad? She didn't have that kid all by herself. Well, I don't do diapers. Well, then you shouldn't do Dad.
That's right.
Diapers aren't my favorite pastime, but there is soap to clean that stuff up out of your fingernails when it's over. this is, I shouldn't laugh at my family's misfortune, but a couple of weeks ago, we spent about a day and a half with John and Christina, drove over there to Statesville. We wanted to go see the mountains and see some colors for a day, and we got a great chance to hang out as a family. And the John and Christina actually left a couple hours before we did, and Debbie and I had the two oldest grandkids, and we all met at their house. And when we got there, John is actually building a home right now, and he was over at his building site with the youngest, Hunter, and they come ripping in the driveway, and John wasn't swearing or anything, but he was not a happy camper. And here's what he said. He said, "Hunter pooped in my truck. Hunter pooped in my truck." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he's picking him up out of the truck like this, and he's setting him on the sidewalk and said, "Don't move." And I said, "What happened?" He goes, "He kept telling me he had to go to the bathroom, and I kept telling him to wait." And he said, and he wasn't really mad at me. He goes, "It's all my fault, Dad." He said, "He got me." And while John's in getting some cleaning supplies, and poor Hunter's sitting there in the grass crying, I looked in the truck, and I shouldn't laugh at this, but he'd had diarrhea. And I looked at John's back seat, and it wasn't like water. It was a little bit more consistency than that. But it was pretty fluid, if y'all know what I'm saying. I looked in there and I said, "Oh, God, have mercy." I said, "Hunter, don't move. Amen. Papa's going to stand back here and try to be a verbal encouragement to you." I mean, 7-8 feet away, he snuck to high heaven. John came back and I said, "You might as well sell it, buddy. There ain't no way. There ain't no way to fix this, man. You can get all the cleaner you want. That is in there forever, man. He's got claw seats to add to that to joy, amen." Oh, man, every dad says that was a woman's responsibility right there, amen. No, even dad, if we're cleaning up the back seat from a little accident, look what it says. "Whatsoever you do in word or deed," say it with me out loud, would you? "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus," say it out loud, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Do you see it this morning? It's a mandate. I'm guessing that many of us, maybe most of us, Brother Ken, when we think about God's will, we're thinking about somewhere. We're thinking about a location. You know, I don't know if I'm in the will of God or not. And what we really mean, we're talking about our address. But can I just be blunt this morning? If I read this verse, our text this morning correctly, the will of God is less about logistics and a lot more about cultivating the character of Christ in your life. Can I say it this way? The will of God is not nearly as much about where as it is what. It's God's will that you and I be thankful. Can I ask y'all a question? How much in the will of God have you been this week? Hey, listen. A well-known pastor, and you wouldn't know him probably. That's why I'm not even mentioning his name, but I came across an article he wrote not long ago, Dr. Money, and he was giving the observation about the will of God and what he says to his church members when they come to him. Here's what he said. He said, "Most people who ask me about the will of God have a tendency to narrow frame." That was the phrase he used. He said, "They find themselves in a dilemma. Should I marry this person? Should I take this job in another city? Should I become a pastor? Should I become a missionary?" And the pastor said he said, "There is a myth that there is only one thing that God wants you to do." He said, "We spend so much time trying to figure out that one thing and become so fearful of making a mistake and missing it." Here's what he said. "We miss the will of God because we're afraid of missing the will of God." Listen to this. He said, "Actually, there are many things that God would be very happy if you chose to do. You're not concerned or cornered, he said, into becoming a pastor or not. You're not cornered into marrying this woman or not. He said this, God did not look at you and say, there's only one thing I've asked you to do with your life, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, and whether you're successful or not is if you figure out what I'm thinking. Isn't that really how most people think about the will of God? So what if I miss the will of God? Can I tell you, you can't miss the will of God. If you're thankful, you're in the will of God. I want you to think about that. I read that about four times, really, Ken, because I said, that goes against everything we say about the will of God, but he's dead right. So, what if I married the wrong woman? Well, be thankful for the one you got. Wouldn't it be great if you married the wrong one and you're thankful for it, and you married the right one and you're not thankful for it? It really is not a complicated game. I'm trying to find the will of God for my life. Be thankful. And your Bible says this morning, you'll be smack dab in the will of God. Here's what this preacher said. He said, the will of God is less circumstantial and more attitudinal. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounds good. Amen. Thank you is a holy mandate. Let me say number two this morning. That thank you is a hopeful message. You know what thankfulness does? It promotes hope. Your Bible says this morning, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4, let me just read it for you, says, be careful. That word means anxious, worrisome, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know that God knows that we have needs. When we tell him our request, he promises that he will accompany that request with peace. But he puts a little clause in there. The request needs to be offered with a thankful heart. I want you to think about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably, if you was preaching with hellfire and brimstone and spitting on me this morning, I don't know if you could get me under more conviction than I feel about what I'm preaching right now. We may not be adulterers, we may not be thieves, we may not be embezzlers, but listen, my friend, if you ain't thankful, you ain't right with God.
That's good.
I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to hurt myself. But I'm guilty, man. I have good things happen to me, Brother Mike, all the time. I was thinking about you and Crystal. That message Debbie sent y'all this week, I thought, man, is there any better servants in our church than Mike and Crystal? Mike cleaned our building for years. Since I've been pastor, he's been leading our prayer ministries on Saturday morning, Saturday night. Brother Mike, don't even tell me the answer, but you've been working the bus route since Noah was building the ark. And every single time Brother Mike gets talking about what Jesus did in his life, he goes back to dating that pretty lady next to him and how going to church was not optional. And he got in his church, Dr. Anderson, under your preaching and realized he needed a Savior.
Amen.
I mean, this has been Brother Mike's spiritual home his entire Christian life. And I don't even hesitate if I need something to say, hey, Brother Mike, because I know what he's going to do. He's a servant. I'm not going to embarrass him, but I remember shortly after we came here, somebody bought us a gift certificate to the Angus Barn. And I hope I ain't embarrassing you, Brother Mike, but we didn't know how fancy the Angus Barn was. But when we looked at it, several of you did that for us. We were humble. But Brother Mike and Miss Crystal, we went to Angus Barn three times with what they paid for us. And Brother Mike and Miss Crystal weren't wealthy at that time, but that's just the kind of people they are. Brother Mike, I've probably said it before, but I say it again. Ms. Crystal, thank you for how much you've loved me. I know you love Dr. Ennis every bit as much as you love me, but you have made me feel like your pastor from the day I walked in the door. I don't take that for granted. Their son, Gregory, he knows I love him. I get about three phone calls a day from him. I love him to death. I couldn't say it in words how much I love Gregory Smith. Every time I think about Gregory Smith, I thank God for his mom and dad.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it bother you that there's a bunch of people in your life like Mike and Crystal, and you're not even sure this morning if they know you're thankful? When's the last time you just called your mom and said, "Mom, you were an awesome mom. You still are, but you should have probably sent me to juvenile detention center. Instead, you just loved me and took care of me and was so good to me. And I just need to say again, Mom, thank you, thank you, thank you." Some of you, I know your dad maybe wasn't perfect. He got up every morning of the world and ran off to his place of work and brought a paycheck home so y'all could have food on the table. And you may not have lived on the beach, but you survived, and you apparently, by looking at you, you ain't doing too bad. Your belly done lapped over your belt. You got Dunlap's disease. You've been so blessed. Wouldn't hurt you at all if about every other week Dad got a text. "Dad, I sure am thankful for you. Dad, I sure am thankful for you." Brother Shane, I often do this when if I'm in a restaurant, any store, anything, and especially veterans of Korean War and the Vietnam War and back, a lot of them will wear hats and different things to let you know they're a veteran. And I never, hardly ever, I don't believe hardly ever, Brother Shane, don't see a veteran. And I'll walk up to him in a store, go get out of my way and say, "Sir, when did you serve?" And they'll tell you, and I say, "I just want to say as a grateful American how thankful I am." Yes. And here's what breaks my heart. You can tell when you do it, they're like, oh. They're not used to it. I'm like, how many people walk past them and realize the reason there's grocery on the shelves, the reason there's money in their pocket is because that guy left home and served his country. I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying we're all guilty, aren't we? We don't understand how much hope is produced by thankfulness. If you're a parent, you know the truth of what I'm trying to say right now. If your children need something and they come to you with a grateful attitude, they are highly more likely to get it. If they come and say, "Hey, big boy, give it to me." If you're like me, you want to say, "Jump in the creek, Chuck." Hey, but when they come and say, "You're the best dad in the whole world," you say, they're just working me, and it works, doesn't it? When we're thankful for what we have, and we remember how good God has been to us, how much He has helped us, how much He has blessed us, it's amazing. Our hope and our faith just grows and grows and grows. I love 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says this: "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest," here's the word, Brother Kelly, "and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." That word savor is a very serious word. That word savor, that's the word savory. It's a culinary term. It's talking about delighting in taste of something. You know what happens? When you have a thankful heart, everything tastes better. Hey, when I was a kid, my parents made us eat liver and onions. Liver was cheaper than steaks. I didn't know it was a filter of the body, and all the just something about it did not set well with me. You couldn't baptize in enough butter and onions. I know y'all are going to think this is insane, but I had to eat my liver and onions. My parents had a rule, and that probably we were abused, but they had a rule: you eat everything we put on your plate. If you don't like it, you're going to find out what it tastes like cold. And if you throw a fit, you're going to find out what it tastes like freezing cold. You know how hard it is to eat liver and onions when it's cold? Back then when I was a kid, it was hard enough to eat it when it was hot. I know you ain't going to believe this, but I ate my liver and onions when I didn't want to. I remember we'd pray before liver and onion meal, and I'd think, "God, I'm not thankful." Dad said, "Thank you for the blessings. I am not thankful for these blessings." I don't know how it happened. I still don't know to this day, Brother Money, but somewhere my savory glands changed their opinion. And I love liver and onions. I know that's gross to some of y'all, but I love liver and onions. When I was a Bible college student, I'd call my grandma and I would come home to see my family. And she lived in Jackson and my parents lived on the east side of Jackson. And I was coming from Bible college, which is Chicago, which was on the west side. So I went by grandma's house before I went to mom and dad's house. Brother Money, this was in the days before we had cell phones. If you wanted to call somebody, you had to have a couple quarters in your pocket at a payphone. I used to stop in Marshall, Michigan. I still remember the truck stop. I'd pull in there and go to the payphone, and I'd throw a quarter in there, and it'd be my grandmother, Gladys Jenkins, and she'd pick up. Of course, your phone didn't tell you who was calling back in those days, and I'd say, Grandma, it's John. She goes, oh, Johnny. She's the only person who ever called me Johnny. I said, Grandma, I'm about 45 minutes from the house. She'd say, liver? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I'll be there. And sure enough, I'd pull off the exit, go down to Orange Street where she lived, pull in the driveway, and you could smell the whole house smell like liver and onions. And me and Grandma, she'd make me enough, Brother Money, for about five men to eat. I could never eat it all. But we'd sit there and talk about the things of God and all that I was going through in Bible college. My grandma, my grandma had some hearing problems, and she would read your lips. And it was sort of an odd thing. While she was reading your lips, she was trying to say what you were saying. And that never bothered me, Brother Money. I knew my grandma was trying to catch everything I was saying. Hey, listen, can I ask you a question? What's happened to your savory glands? You don't got to like liver and onions, but do you like anything? It was your whole life, gimme, gimme, gimme. I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. And by the way, Mom and Dad, don't be too mad at them kids. We raised them. A lot of our kids aren't grateful. They're spoiled rotten. We tried to do right. I'm not scolding you, but you might want to talk more about this. See if you can undo some of that damage you did by giving them everything they wanted and everything they needed without stopping every once in a while and saying, you guys realize how good the Lord's been to us? I'm not trying to scold you, but we got to take some pretty awesome vacations when our kids were growing up. And a lot of it was from me traveling and flying all over the country. We went on probably 7-8 vacations when our kids were growing up where we all got to fly somewhere. We didn't have money to do that. But all them years of my kids saying goodbye to Dad every Monday morning and not seeing me to church on Wednesday night, what I'd say to him, Brother Ken, when we got in that nice motel, I'd say, now listen, guys, the reason we're here is because God's been good to us. Mom and Dad can't afford a place like this, but because you've sacrificed and you've said goodbye to me every Monday and Tuesday for most of your life, this is God saying to you, I pay my children when they do right. And I'd spend a whole vacation. We'd go out to eat. One night we were in Waikiki, Hawaii. You talk about something no kid should ever get to do. We got to spend a week in Dr. Russell Anderson's condominium. Didn't cost us a dollar. Got to drive his Lincoln Town car that he kept parked over in Hawaii. Didn't cost us a dollar. All five of us flew on free air miles from Delta Airlines. Didn't cost us a dollar. Remember, it wasn't Delta back then. We were flying Northwest Airlines. And the last night we were there, we hadn't spent $500 a week. I mean, we'd budgeted a whole week. And the last night I said, let's go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. We went to the Brother Jeff, the Waikiki Westin. It was a couple buildings down from Dr. Anderson's condominium. And you know what was the buffet was that night? It was all you could eat seafood. There was a table, probably three times the size of our Lord's Supper table, piled this high, crab legs. And man, we bunch of rednecks from Elmira, Michigan. I looked over at Brandon at one time, Brother Ken, and he had butter all the way to his elbows. I mean, we were gorging like crazy men, like we'd never eaten a meal before. In the middle of all that, I said to my kids, ain't the Lord been good to us? Here we live. It wasn't a dirt road. It had many potholes in it. It could have been a dirt road. I said, guys, we live in Elmira. I mean, we're not just redneck, man. We live past the rednecks. And I said, here we are at the Waikiki Westin. Here in the waves hit. And we're eating all you can eat crab legs. I remember we shed some tears as a family. We had a little testimony time, had family devotions right there. I want my kids to know we don't deserve this. Amen. This is a trip of a lifetime because we have a God of a lifetime. Amen. Mom and Dad, be careful if you're good to your children. You don't let them think it's normal. You don't let them think everybody else's kids get it that way. Hey, listen, you can be good to your kids and not ruin them. But you better teach them an awful lot about being thankful. Thankfulness is a message. It's a mandate. Can I hurry? It's also a method. So what do you mean a method, preacher? Let me quote the verse, Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thankfulness is connected to praise. We all know the famous verse, Hebrews 13, 15. By him, talking about Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Say it out loud with me, church. Giving thanks to his name. Psalms 26, 7 says that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving. That word publish, Brother Ken, is an interesting word. It's the Hebrew word shama, and it's an intriguing word. It means both to announce and to listen. How can one word mean two opposite things, preacher? Listen, listen. That I may publish. You know what that's saying? While you're saying God's been good, you need to listen to the words God's been good. You can speak it and hear it at the same time. You know what Thanksgiving does? When you're thankful, you hear it. And here's what you do. I'm not trying to scold you, but when I never see anybody praising, I wonder if they're thankful. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Preacher, how do we develop an attitude of gratitude? We're 18 days away from Thanksgiving. Can I give you a homework assignment? If I do my math correctly, not counting today, Monday, Tuesday, we're 18 days away from Thanksgiving. Put yourself on notice and give yourself an assignment. I am going to try in the next 18 days to be thankful for everything that God allows in my life. I don't mean just sort of like a mental consent, but you're going to say it out loud. Thank you. Someone opens a door. Thank you. Someone pays the bill. Thank you. Someone at work hands you a slip of paper, gives you some information. As they walk away, say thank you. It'll blow your mind how many chances you got every day. Let me give you two closing statements that tie this all together. This is big. Whatever you don't turn into praise turns into pride. What do you mean? If you think you deserve it. Do you know what you deserve? Well, I don't feel like I've been treated like I deserve, Pastor. Thanks be to God, we haven't been treated like we deserve. Because what we deserve to be is in hell with our neck broke. But instead, we've been given the free gift of salvation. We have access to God. We have been blessed beyond compare. The Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, you've heard this phrase before, it is this volume called the Talmud. In the Talmud, it says this, Brother Ken, this is so powerful, listen. The Talmud says a man embezzles from God when he makes use of this world without uttering a blessing. Did you hear that? A man embezzles from God when he makes use of this world without uttering a blessing. In other words, if you enjoy something without thanking God, it's like you stole it from him.
I like that, preacher.
So anything less than gratitude, Brother Bob, is grand larceny. Young people, listen to Pastor Jenkins. I'm not picking on you this morning, but God's been good to you.
Amen.
You live in America. You live in the South. Hallelujah. You've been raised by good people. You got to go to a Bible-believing church growing up. Are y'all listening? I'm just getting started. I could list 1,000 other things. God's been good to you. For the next 18 days, not getting thankful. Next time you go to the refrigerator and the milk's not past its due date, look at your mom and say, Mom, thanks for putting fresh milk in the refrigerator. All you got to do is eat a bowl of sugar a couple of times and spoil milk, and you'll be thankful when it's good milk. Hey, Mom, thank you. It's whole milk. Hallelujah. Not 0% milk, colored water. How many of y'all like whole milk? See, it's not good for your waist. Well, what milk is good for your waist? Milk's not good for you. Everybody knows that. Not cow's milk anyway. But you know what? How do you eat cereal without it? If I got to sin, let's sin good. Amen. Let's get some whole milk. Amen. Let's have some substance to it. Amen. You reach in, you get that box of cereal, and it's not past due. Your mom should be buying your granola, and she's instead buying your Fruity Pebbles. Say, Mom, thank you for giving me toxic poison. Because you know I like toxic poison. Hey, we got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but how about this? Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Thanks for working so hard so the shower was warm when I took it today. And the bill was paid at Duke Energy, so we had hot water today. You don't think that's a big deal? Take you a few showers and cold water. And you'll say thank you. I remember the first time that I ever ate at a Sheetz. First hurricane I ever went through here in North Carolina. Folks asked me, y'all did okay? I said, we survived the hurricane. I think we're going to die from eating Sheetz, though. Man, y'all may like Sheetz, but tacos at Sheetz are gross. I'm just telling you. But you know why we was eating tacos at Sheetz? Because we didn't have the power at the house. But when that power came on, I was thankful for whatever Debbie put on the table after I ate tacos at Sheetz during the hurricane. Y'all listening? Whatever you don't turn into praise, you'll turn into pride. Miss Joy, come to the piano if you will. I'm going to skip a bunch of the message. I'll preach this in some other message. But I want to give you something in closing this morning. There's one other thing that thank you says. I'm just going to skip that second point, Brother Jeffrey, for time. I see what the clock's saying. But thank you is also a heavenly mindset. Look what it says in Revelation. Matter of fact, Turner, would you turn with me? We're done. Let's go to Revelation 7. We're all done. Look at verse number 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. Boy, is this simple, but this sure is wonderful. John the Beloved has been allowed to time travel. God let him go into the future, and he's actually in heaven when we're all there. Literally, the saints of all the ages are in one massive place. And John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. If you're saved in this room this morning, John saw you in this picture. I preached a sermon years ago, Brother Jeff, entitled, John, Did You See Me There? If you're saved in this room this morning, John saw you in this picture. Which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Look how we're going to be clothed in white robes, palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice. Here's the heavenly choir. Saying salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, the elders, that's us by the way, and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and they worshiped God. Look at their first stanza. saying amen. That's how they got started. Blessing, glory, and wisdom. Say it with me out loud, church. And thanksgiving. And honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. Amen. Not only is thank you a mandate, a message, and a mindset. You know what they're doing in heaven today? They're expressing thank yous. Everybody in heaven this morning, your loved ones that are there, Brother Jeff, your mom and dad, they're thankful. Say, boy, we got troubles at our house, preacher. I'm going to tell you how to get heaven at your house. Be thankful.